needed. Here's a story that probably many times you've heard, and you know, I've been a preacher long enough that I've preached a lot of those stories over and over again. There's always something from them, and probably you've been in church long enough too, you've heard the stories, and you know the story of Hannah and the birth of her son Samuel. God used Samuel in a very, very important way, but a lot of that, the reason because of it, was because of his mother Hannah. And Elkanah was her husband, and there was, I see a problem here, and that was that, you notice in verse number 2, it says, and he had two wives. Now, to me, that's saying double trouble. I mean, that's just kind of what I'm thinking. I mean, no, never mind. But there's no way of getting out of that one, is there? But he had two wives. Now, I understand some folks in the Bible had two wives. We were looking at that the other day, my wife and I, and it was Cain's son. I can't remember who it was now. His son, well, Cain's son, was the first one that we have. We learned that had two wives, and of course, you know, the line of Cain is not a very good line there. And he had two wives, and we see others in the Bible, and some folks that we you know, we look up to where God allowed them to do it, but. We got to go back and see what God's plan was to start out with, and that was in the Garden of Eden. God made one man and one woman to be his wife, and I believe that's God's plan for us to have just one wife. And again, I couldn't understand why. I love my wife, but I tell you what, it's a handful. Amen. It's a handful being married sometimes. And I'm sure every lady in this room would say this. I'm glad I don't have two husbands. Amen. And I mean, let's be honest about it. You know, I mean, we are. Oh, we are honest. Yes. And I'm more honest than you're honest. All right. But we're honest. About, I mean, just think about it. I mean, it's wonderful being married. Believe me, it is, isn't it? But I tell you what, I mean, I just could not. You know, I want to please my wife. I want her to be happy. I can't imagine trying to do it with two of them. Amen. And then how about Solomon? What a nut. Amen. I mean, if you think about it. I mean, he was a very wise man, but I'm thinking, good night, that man, all the wives he had and the concubines he had. And I'm just telling you, man, could you imagine the drama in his house? Amen. I digress a little bit. Don't get me off course, all right? But Elkanah had two wives. And, of course, Hannah was one, and the other one was Peninnah. And there was a problem, though, and that was that Hannah wanted a child. She didn't have any. She wanted real bad to have a child. It was not her decision not to have children. It was her desire to have a child, but she was not able to have any children. In fact, the Bible says that God shut up her womb. That's in verse number 5. It wasn't that there was just a health problem, and sometimes that happens, but it was this, that God shut her womb up. But yet she wanted a child. And I'm sure it was very difficult for Hannah to try to understand this, where someone who wanted a child so bad and could not have a child, I'm sure it really bothered her. But then to add more problem on top of this was her husband's other wife, Peninnah, who had children, and she gave Hannah a hard time over this. The Bible says that she was her adversary. Look back at verse number 6. And her adversary, that was Peninnah, also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Again, we're reminded it was the Lord that shut up her womb, but Peninnah, I mean, this was, I understand, God did this. God did not allow her to have a child at this time. God is always good. God's always right. And God did not. We may not understand right now, but we do understand that God gave her the right man, the right child, didn't he? Because Samuel was a great man of God. And I mean, we could just go on with stories about Samuel. We won't do that this evening right now. But here Peninnah was her adversary, and she provoked her. And we all know that we have an adversary. In fact, the Bible tells us that we have an adversary, and the Bible tells us 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we all have an adversary, every one of us. We have an adversary, and that's the devil. An adversary means somebody that wants to cause us problems. And Satan wants to cause us problems. You know, I always look down at the little boy, the little boys and the bigger boy and the medium-sized boy and all the little guy. And I look at down at the guys on the front row here, and I think about them all the time. And I, you know what? They have an adversary, too. It's not your mom and dad, all right? Sometimes it seems that way, but it's not your mom and dad. Well, you have an adversary just like I have an adversary, and that's the devil. The devil hates me, but the devil hates you guys, too. He hates you girls, too. He hates all of us, moms and dads and parents. We all have an adversary of Satan, and that's an adversary we have in common. But sometimes our adversary is not the devil, although he is an adversary all the time, really, of ours. But sometimes we have other adversaries in our life, and sometimes it's somebody else. Sometimes people could be an adversary to us. Sometimes people can just get it in them where they just don't like you. And all they want to do is cause you problems. Just looking for everything they can. I remember, man, used to be that way. I just kind of considered that. I tried and tried to understand, but it seemed like every time I turned around, it was like it was an adversary always poking at this. Well, you know, you said this and you said that and you did this. And I just an adversary. And you know that hurts. And sometimes it's somebody else. And it was in the instance here with Hannah. Hannah had the adversary. We know that Satan was her adversary. But also there was another person that was an adversary of hers, Peninnah. She kept poking at her, kept making fun of her because she did not have a child. And it was not of any fault of Hannah. Hannah wanted a child, but God had shut her womb up. And so she had this adversary, and sometimes it's other people, and they'll try to cause you grief. They try to get at you. There's been people that will try, you know, this is so, people just try and they want to bring up stuff to try to get at you. You know, sometimes it's in family where, you know, if you get together as family, you know that someone's going to bring up a subject to try to get you. Something, you know, especially if you're a Christian, you know, sometimes you get the lost family members, they'll get there and say, well, hey, what about this? And, you know, I remember we used to get it about our kids. Where family members would kind of, they would kind of get us about the kids. Well, you let your kids do this? No, we don't let them. You let your kids dress this way? No, we don't let them. You don't send them to public school? No, we don't let them go to public school. And I tell you what, it seemed like if you're around them, before you know it, they're going to start getting in on stuff like that and trying to cause us grief. Now, adversaries come and will try to cause us grief, but you stand your ground on what is right. Amen. But it doesn't make it easy. When people are your adversaries, they just like to give you trouble. Well, Peninnah here really got at Hannah, got at her so bad that look at verse 6 and 7 again. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her, notice this, fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she, that's Peninnah, provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Now, in verse number 6, we find out it made her fret. In verse number 7, it made her weep. And also in verse number 7, where she did not even eat. This bothered her tremendously. And it really got to her. And it says that she fret. And that fret means to worry or to fear. Sometimes people could be that adversary that will cause us to worry and fear. Sometimes Satan will cause people to worry and fear. I'm glad that God is greater than Satan. Amen. You don't need to worry and fear. You need to understand there is an adversary, and the devil will fight you at everything that comes along. But understand that God is greater than any adversary. But then sometimes it's other people that will just try to get at you about something and pound and pound and pound and try to get you down. That's kind of what Peninnah was doing. I mean, you think, why would you do that? You're sharing the same husband. Wouldn't you want a little bit of peace? But it was like Peninnah was not trying to have any peace whatsoever. She was trying to cause trouble. She was an adversary that caused Hannah to weep and to be grieved and to worry and to fear. But what really was all this problem about? It was about she didn't have a child, but the fact is that God closed her womb. God was not allowing her to have a child. You know, God, sometimes we look at him and we feel like he's unreasonable, but God is always right. God's always right. And I'm sure that Hannah didn't understand the whole situation. Why? She had prayed and prayed, I'm sure, many a times and saying, God, let me have a child. I want a child. And, of course, we know later on when she prays and she says, I want a man child because I want to give him to you. I believe her heart was right about this. She wanted a son that would obey, would serve God. God granted her wish. God gave her the desire of her heart finally. But up at this time, God did not do this. Why? I don't understand why, but I know this. God's time is on time, and God is always right. And God's thought for this time, He says, I'm going to close your womb for right now, but I will bless you with a child someday. But He didn't reveal, as God always does. God does not always reveal all of His will for our lives. If God revealed everything, all of His will right at one time, there'd be no room for faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Sometimes we just got to trust God. No. Every time we need to trust God. Sometimes He reveals things to us, but even when He does not reveal things to us. So Hannah wept. It got to her so bad. I know sometimes people say, well, you know, it's just a woman thing. That's just what women do. Well, I want to be honest with you. That's not just the only people that weep, but sometimes it's men who weep. Now, you may say, well, I never do. But you know, there was a great man named David, and he wept. You know, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 4, it said, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. I have to say, there was a lot of weeping going on with those people. And with David. The Bible says in Psalm 6, verse 6, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. That's what David had to say. So it wasn't just a woman thing. It wasn't that she was just soft. She was broken. She was brokenhearted. She wanted a son. She wanted God to give her a child so she could give him back to Him. But she was provoked about something from Peniah that was not in Hannah's control. I can kind of imagine if Hannah had control of this and say, you know what, I'm just not going to have a child right now. And she's being provoked. I mean, still wouldn't have been right to do it. But we could say, but you know what? Hannah is part of the problem. She's saying, no, I don't want one. But she was not in control of the situation. God was in control. You know, sometimes things are out of our own control in life. Sometimes we just don't have that control of things, but God does. And sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. But God's answer is always the right answer. And He said, no, not now. How many times do you think she's prayed about this? I think many times. Why do you say that? Because she cried and she wept. She fretted because of that. In fact, it was so bad. Look at verse number 15. And Hannah answered and said, and Eli had come to her. But look what she said. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. You understand, it wasn't her feelings hurt. Her spirit was sorrowful. This woman was hurt so bad by an adversary. You know, people, and again, this is what it was. This was not Satan doing this. This was Peninnah. People sometimes can be very cruel and mean to you and break your heart and cause you to be sorrowful, bringing the hurt and the grief. But here's the thing, that sometimes the adversary is not necessarily a person. Sometimes the adversary is a circumstance. Health problems. That's an adversary. The doctor called me the other night after Wednesday night prayer meeting. I've been waiting, and he called. And I sat down there, and I had my pen to take some notes. And he said, well, we found cancer. You know, cancer is my adversary. I don't like it. I don't want it. I believe God can heal me of it. And I think He'd even take a doctor to help me get rid of it. Amen. I believe God used doctors too. But I know this, that the doctor's not my enemy. The adversary I have is cancer. But my God's bigger than cancer. Amen. My God's bigger. That's good news. You know, Dave with your situation you have, God's bigger than that. God can give you better strength than iron. I don't know what that would be, but I know He could give you something like that. You know, God, our God is great. Our God is big. But you know what? Sometimes the illness that He's going through right now is an adversary. It bothers you every day, doesn't it? Yeah. I try to come to church and smile and everything, but you know, my wife knows sometimes I have some difficult times when I start thinking about it. She said, "Don't think about it." I'm like, "How do you not think about some things?" And it goes through your mind, what's coming up next, what they're going to do, you know, and you know, how many needles and all that different stuff. But you know, sometimes when our adversaries are the problems we have, sometimes it's health problems, sometimes it's family problems. Sometimes family can really hurt us too. Sometimes even our own children can hurt us. Sometimes it's in-laws, or what we like to call them sometimes, outlaws. But family members can cause us problems too, can't they? Sometimes it's health. Sometimes it's family problems. Sometimes it's, you know, it's financial problems, where you have more month left than you have money left. When you say, "Do we have money in the bank?" Let's wait a while. Sometimes it's monetary. Sometimes difficulties come, and the adversary comes along. Someone has a job, and you know, through this COVID thing, a lot of people lost jobs or got put off and don't have very many hours. And they don't make so much money and having a difficult time. Sometimes the adversary is the circumstances that we're in. But if we're not careful, our adversary, whether it's a person or a problem, can cause us to have spiritual problems. Hannah had a problem with this woman, Penina. But it was getting to her spiritually. I talked to my wife. I said, "Honey," I said, "one of the things that I really want to be careful about is this. I don't want my testimony to be harmed. I preach to you, God is good. I believe that, but sometimes I get down. God is great, but sometimes I worry. My adversary bothers me. But you know what? I got to be careful because I don't want, and I've talked to my wife about this, I don't want to get to a place where all of a sudden I'm hurting spiritually about a physical problem. You know, God can use us in any situation that comes in our lives. God can. And so here was something that was not in the control of Hannah. She has a sorrowful spirit, and her adversary is causing, I believe, some problems even spiritually for her. I think that Hannah forgot that God still loved her. And God did still love her. Sometimes, you know, when you look and the problems come in our lives, you know, "God, don't you love me?" Let me tell you something right now. Yes, God loves you. God loved you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die for you on the cross of Calvary. There's no doubt in the world that God loves us tonight. And I'm sure that I believe in Hannah. She forgot about how that did God love her. I think that she even began to think, "Well, maybe my husband doesn't really love me either. Why, he has these two wives." But you know what? She was forgetting that her husband didn't love her. But I believe, as I read in the scripture, her husband really loved her. The Bible told us blank, right, point blank, He loved her. Look again at verse number four and five. "And when the time was that Elkanah offered to, he gave to Penina his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions." He gave all that family right there portions. But, verse 5, "unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah." But the Lord shut up her womb. Her husband loved her. You know, he could have said to her, "You don't have any children. Why should I love you? You're not producing any offspring for us, for our family. Why should I love you?" He loved Hannah. Even though the circumstances were tough and Peninnah was not helping anything, but he loved Hannah. I think Hannah was so much involved in why am I not having a child that she begins thinking, my husband even loved me. But what happens? There's truth in there. It's to the point that he loved her. The Bible says that he loved her. He gave her a worthy portion there. In fact, look what he said in verse number 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Now notice, here it is. Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Do you think sons were important to Elkanah? Yeah, they were. But he said, get this. He said, honey, I'm yours. And I think I'm worth to you more than 10 sons. He was saying, do you realize how much I love you? But her burden and her adversary had worked on her to a point where now that she's wondering, I wonder if my husband even cares about me. No doubt he did. God, have you forgotten me? We're going to find out here. No, God did not forget her. But the provoking of the adversary, sometimes it hurts, and sometimes, whether it's an adversary of a person, or it's the adversary of the devil himself, or if it's an adversary of some problem in our life, some circumstance in our life, we must be careful not to forget the blessings that are there in our life. Listen, Hannah did not have a child, but she had a husband that loved her so much, and she had a God that loved her even more. You know, sometimes we don't see. You know, I think about what's next. Hey, how about this? What's right now? The day that we have. I've been trying to tell myself, you know what? I need to just kind of slow down for a moment. I don't mean stop serving God or that. Just slow down and just kind of look around and see the blessings that's there. All of us should do that. Seeing what God has done and seeing how that God is in our lives and how He blesses us over and over again. And not forget. Hannah's husband loved her. But I know the adversaries, sometimes the problems, they hurt. There's no doubt about it. But there was no child for Hannah. There was a husband. And there was a God that loved her, but there was still no child. I know I never do this, and I'm sure you never do this either. But I know of some people that what they do is they look at the negative. Okay, I confess I lied. That's sometimes the way we are. Sometimes we look at the glass half empty, then half full. We look at the negative when the doctor calls and it's like, that's not what I was wanting to hear. But it makes you realize this, I'm glad I have a great God that's able no matter what to take care. Sometimes the problems eat us up to a point where we get depressed and we don't see the blessings. You know, I see the blessing of being able to come to church. I'm glad I'm not sick where I can't come to church. Amen. I'm glad to be able to be around God's people. See the blessings. So what happens, Hannah? She's so hurt. She weeps. She frets. She worries. Now she can't even eat. And she's so upset and so hurt. And so what happens? We find that she goes to God for some help. But as we look at what happened in verse number 10, we find something sad. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. You see what happened? All the hurt and all the problems and all what the adversary was doing to her had caused her to be bitter. It's an awful thing to become bitter. An awful thing. God's always good. There's no reason in the world for us to become bitter. God knows what He's doing. I say God knows what He's doing. We must be careful and pray about things, and things sometimes may not seem to go our way, but if we're not careful when things don't go our way, we'll become bitter. I've seen people, this happened to them before. They get bitter. You know, the Bible talks about that root of bitterness. Things got to be plucked out. And one reason the bitterness comes is when the adversary, whether Satan, whether it be other people. I've seen preachers get out of the ministry, give up and say, yeah, I'm tired of fighting with people. I'm thinking, you know, it's sad. People should not have been fighting a preacher, but they were adversaries. It got to him so bad, he let his heart be filled with bitterness. And now saying, God, it's not worth it anymore. Missionaries have come off the field because of it. People have left churches because of it. I mean, just got out of church altogether because of it. Bitterness creeps in, and then what happens because of bitterness creeping in? Anger creeps in. Hannah goes to help, go for help from the Lord. And she gets to a place where now she's full of bitterness of soul. And I'd have to say that that bitterness of soul would have me believe this, that she was getting a little bit upset and mad at God. Sometimes people have burdens and problems, and you know, you watch them and they get bitter and they actually get mad at God. I've seen people do that. That's a terrible way to be mad at God. For God loves us. It's like, how can you be mad at Him? Every day that we've had on this earth is a day that God gave to us. All the blessings, count your blessings, name them one by one. And so, God doesn't forget us. But she thought the Lord did. Look at verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and, look at here, remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, do you think he forgot her? Don't you think he heard she was on his mind? She'd pray, oh God, give me a child. God say, just wait, time's coming. Not right now. You know, God doesn't have to give us a reason behind everything. God just wants us to trust Him. Here she comes to God about that and says, Lord, I want to make sure you remember me and don't forget me. But God doesn't forget. And she makes God a promise if He doesn't forget her. He says, and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, again, you remember now, I'm not really the message is not about Samuel, but God gave her Samuel. What a man of God, I would say, worth waiting for. God's timing was perfect. God's timing was perfect. And so what happens, she's praying and asking God to give her a man child. She wanted to give this child to God. Look at verse number 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. He didn't come up with a magic marker and wrote on her. He marked her mouth. You know what he did? He said, I noticed your mouth. I didn't say this out loud, but he noticed her mouth. Her mouth was moving, but there was no sound coming from it. Look what it says in verse number 13. Now Hannah, she spake to her in her heart only. Her heart only, her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. So we'll stop right there for a moment. So here Eli, the priest, the preacher, comes by, and here's Hannah down there praying. I believe she was fervently praying to the place where he looks at her, and her lips are moving, but there's no sound coming from her. And I don't know if she's going through all kind of contortions about this, oh God, like this in her with her hands. I don't know, but I do know this, that Eli looked at her and thought she was drunk. She wasn't drunk, but she looked like it. And as the Bible said there, he thought, notice here we look at the last part of verse number 13, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. Now, this is what he thought. I think we all know tonight she wasn't drunk. She was of a sorrowful heart. She's praying unto God. But the man of God comes by and sees her and he says, you know, thought she was drunk. And then what does he do? He addresses the problem. Verse 14, and Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Now think about this. We all know tonight that she was not drunk, because we have the Bible tells us the whole story. But Eli, all he had to go by was what he saw. And Eli, then, what does he do? And you know, I understand Eli, he probably should have been maybe, could he have been a little bit more compassionate? Or was he the kind of guy who was saying this, you know what, if he thought she was drunk, what did he do? He didn't say, well, you know, don't drink so much. What did he tell her? He said, put away thy wine from thee. He said, stop your drinking. If she was drunk, was that good advice? Yes, it was. I believe with all my heart that Eli was trying to help her. He was trying to help her. He did not know all the circumstances. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes as a pastor will preach some things and he knows what God lays on his heart and he sees things sometimes that happen in a church and he's got to preach about those. And the thing is that you don't know what's on the inside. I think Brother Howes one time was saying he was preaching and a woman kept making faces the whole time while he was preaching. And he thought, what is wrong? This woman hates my preaching. But the thing was that asked the preacher after the service, said, what, that woman sat there on that back on that row, certain row, he said, she kept making faces the whole time I was preaching. He said, the preacher said, well, the reason is because her husband beats her. And her husband beat her before she came to church tonight. And she has got all kinds of bruises on her back. And if she makes any move, it's just excruciating pain. She was in church. You know, sometimes we can see things that maybe are not what we think they are. And we may say something to try to help, but not understand. I think Eli looked and thought she was drunk. But she wasn't. I have to say this. I'm glad he didn't say, well, sleep it off. He said, put away your wine. But that wasn't the problem. Looks like he made a conclusion here that she was drunk, but she wasn't. And the reason was because Eli couldn't see her heart. But verse 15 says, and Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrow, of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. And then notice what she says. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. You know what? She said, don't count me as a daughter of the devil. Wait a minute. Did Eli say that? Isn't that interesting? Eli didn't say, you're a child of the devil. But when he said what it seemed to him that she was drinking, she took his preaching the wrong way. No one would ever do that, would they? I know you're preaching right at me. My answer is I am. I'm preaching at everybody in the service. But she kind of took it the wrong way. You know, when a preacher preaches against sin, it's not to hurt people, it's to help people. I believe Eli was trying to help her. He thought she was drunk and said, lady, you need to put away the wine. But she wasn't drunk. And she kind of misinterpreted his preaching. That he was trying to hurt her instead of trying to help her. She took the preaching wrong. And sometimes I think, you know, if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. Paul understood this. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? People said, yeah, I don't want to go back there again. Well, that guy, he preaches about this. I'll be honest with you, I've never had anyone say, you know, I'm not coming back to church because you're preaching the truth. He said, we have a problem with the truth sometimes. Paul said, am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth? I believe Eli was trying to help her, but what she saw Eli as her enemy and said, you think I'm a child of the devil? No, he didn't say that. But he did tell her something. Look at verse 17. You know, he could have come back and said, you crazy woman. But he didn't, did he? Then Eli answered and said, go in what? Peace. Wait a minute. Go in peace? How could you go in peace? She'd been praying. She'd been asking God. She was beside herself. She was a woman of sorrow. He said to her, go in peace. And then he said all this too. He said, and the God of Israel grant thee the petition that thou hast asked of him. Now, I'm not too sure that God really said, now you tell her I'm going to grant that, but I think he was saying this. You know what? God's going to answer your prayer. This is why I think things changed all of a sudden. She got hope. She got hope. And the Bible says, and it's wonderful, verse 18, and she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat. Wait a minute. Remember, she couldn't eat before. And now she goes to eat. And her countenance was no more sad. Something happened there. She said, "Preacher, what was it that changed that?" That blessed hope that she had. That God would answer her prayer. Now, in the next verse, we find out she rose up and she went down to her husband. And we find out that she conceived and then she bore the son 9 months later. But here's the thing. This what we're reading there, verse number 18, happened before that happened. And already her countenance had changed. Why? Because there was that hope. I'm glad tonight to tell you that no matter what the circumstances in our life, there's a God in heaven that gives us hope. That blessed hope. I like that song. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." I'm glad I have that blessed hope tonight. Now, we're not going to go into the rest of the story, but she had a child. She had Samuel. God blessed. But you know, it came to a place where her adversary gave her a lot of problems, to the point where she got bitterness in spirit. And she was starting to think that my husband doesn't love me, my God has forgotten about me. No. When the circumstances are bad, when it looks like the adversary is having victory, my God is greater than any adversary. I'll give you the victory. I'm glad we can still sing the song "Victory in Jesus," because it's true. It's true. Yes, she went through an awful lot. But God went with her through it all. Now, I love what happened there. As Eli had talked to her, he just said, "Well, it looks to me like you're drunk." She said, "I'm not drunk. I'm not a child of the devil." Can you imagine him? You know, I would have probably said, hey, lady, come on, calm down. I didn't say you're a child of the devil. I'm just saying you were drinking. But he didn't. He realized she wasn't drunk. And he gave her some hope. He said, "Go in peace." And I love that last part of verse number 18 where it said, "And her countenance was no more sad." Something changed. Now she's happy. Now she's got some joy. Knowing that God's still on the throne. And God will answer prayer. Not in our time. Not in the time that we put, the time frame we put on God. But God knows what He's doing, doesn't He? Oh, yeah. The adversaries, it's tough, isn't it? But our God is bigger than the adversary. What is it tonight? Who is it tonight that is your adversary? Well, we all have the devil in common is our adversary. But maybe somebody else is giving you a hard time. Understand, God knows what you're going through. Maybe it's circumstances you're going through right now and you wonder. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's a family problem. Maybe it's a health problem. Whatever it is, you know, there's a God that's bigger than all those things put together. We just need to realize God's timing is always what's best. God knows what He's doing. And when we have that hope, you say, "Well, preacher, you know, we're all going to die someday." Yeah, I know that. But understand this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You think in heaven, CNN is on the TV? You think Fox News is on the TV? No, there ain't no TVs. There's none of that garbage going on up there. Everything's all right. To trade this old world for heaven, that sounds like a pretty good deal. Again, I'm looking for the upper taker. But you know, the adversary is going to fight us. Going to try to get us down. We need to listen to what God has to say and find that there's hope. He said, "Go in peace." Tonight, when we leave this building in a little while, let's go in peace. Let's go in peace. That blessed hope that we have in Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for your word.